So, someone just joined us. Who's that?
Hi, it's David from Vancouver.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
So, in Vancouver, huh? Robert is up there in British Columbia, too. Okay, anyway. Okay, so I was just starting to ask if people had anything they wanted to bring up from last week, from doing the exercises or from the reading. So I'll just open the floor. Anybody want to say anything?
I find it hard to, a space, I think I find space hard. It's not I think I probably live remote from space in a kind of abstract way, and vivid experiences are harder to come by with space than time presence.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things we're trying to do here is really create a different understanding of space. I mean, that's true for time also, but in a way, I don't know, I think it's easier to see how time could be different than to see how space could be different. So as we go along, maybe that'll become more clear. Let's see.
Okay.
Anybody else? Hello? Would somebody...
Hello? Check?
Yeah, Arthur, hi.
Yes, this is Arthur. Hi.
Okay, so we have a pretty good group now. We've started in on our discussion, and people don't seem to have too much to say about the experience last week. So let's start talking a little bit about the chapter and the reading for this week, the second half of chapter two, I guess. Which is about the field communique.
About what?
The field communique.
Yeah, I understand. No. Yeah.
Okay. So, one way to think about this, let me back up. One question you could reasonably ask is at this point, Rinpoche starts talking a whole lot about how we put experience together by naming it and by assigning labels and so on. And it's reasonable to ask, what does that have to do with space? And looking ahead a little bit, it seems to me that the place he really engages that question is in Chapter 4 of Dynamics, so we will be getting there in a couple of weeks. But for right now, what I want to suggest is we can look at that image of the box, you know, that has all these contents in it, and then the contents become more ghostly, and that actually changes the quality of, or that changes the box itself, and then the possibility develops of opening the box up in the way that he describes. Well, I think that that's really what he's doing in discussing the way that we create objects out of labels when things are not really very substantial to begin with. He's trying to take our ordinary experience, the things that we take as real, the things that we take for granted in a very literal sense, and make them more ghostly, you know, make them less real, encourage us to realize that the things that we experience as being real are constructs that grow out of our own form of understanding. And then, so I'm just going to put that idea out there, and then when we've kind of loosened up our sense of what's real, then he raises the question, okay, so what makes something real if we have this firm commitment to the idea of being something being real? Where does that come from? And that is where he starts to talk about the field communique. And he basically says... you know, there's all these interactions. I'm reading now, well, there's a couple of phrases he uses on page 16 of the English, where he talks about co-referring manifestations. And he says, beyond all particular interactions and all possible communications, there is the field of these interactions. And having established that notion, then he introduces the idea of a field communique as a way of dealing with that, or as a way of making sense out of that. And I think, you know, there's a couple of analogies we could use in terms of making sense out of what this field communique is. One analogy, when I was thinking about this, I thought about a book that some of you may have read called Flatland. Anybody read that? No? Okay, Flatland was written more than 100 years ago, and since nobody's read it, I won't bother to go into it. You can get the same idea by thinking about a game of checkers. Is that what's checkers in German? Yes? What's the German for checkers? Somebody?
Checkers.
It's a game where you jump over pieces on a board. It's like chess, like Schach, but not really. Easier. It's an easier game. Anyway. Okay. Whatever the game is, the idea is you've got these little round pieces on the board, and they move forward on diagonals, and you can jump over them. You don't have that game. Okay, it doesn't matter. Imagine these pieces on a board, and the only way they can move is by moving forward or backward or sideways on the board. And now imagine that those pieces are sentient beings. They have minds. And they have a sense of reality, and their sense of reality is completely limited to moving around on that board in two dimensions. That's really what the book Flatland is about. And then he introduces the idea that somebody shows up who lives in three dimensions. But if you're thinking about a game like checkers, you can say that it's the same thing in checkers if from the point of view of the person who's actually playing the game. Okay? So if you're one of the pieces on the board, on the checkers board, and the person who's playing the game lifts that piece up, it's as though the piece disappears completely, right? It's just gone. And then it appears somewhere else on the board, and it's kind of magical. And that sense that there is an order or a structure, in this case the two-dimensional structure of the board, which limits the possibilities, that's something like the field communique. Or let me give you another example, since I don't think that one worked too well for at least for the people who don't know what checkers is. I saw a movie once that I didn't see the whole movie, but it started off with a really interesting moment. It was showing an American football game, and the player in the game has the ball and is running with it, and there's only one person between him and the goal, and that person is getting ready to tackle him, to stop him from reaching the goal. And as he gets closer to this person, he pulls a gun out of his shoe and shoots him. Well, that's not allowed, you know. that's not a part of the game. And the idea is that if the field communique is kind of like the rules of a game, right? It says this is possible and this is not possible. But the difference is that in a game, we know that we're playing a game. But in the field communique, as long as we're committed to that particular communique, we don't know that it's in any way limiting. It's just the way things are. And everything that shows up in the communique, everything that gets communicated or has the potential to be communicated, is real. And everything that does not have the potential to show up or to be communicated is not real. And that's what a field communique is. And I think if, you know, it's pretty easy to understand in what sense that's like space. You know, If you're talking about physical space, for instance, there are certain things that won't show up in physical space. A thought, for instance, will never show up in physical space. And if it did, you know, that's when you start talking about hallucinations or delusions. So the communique is a kind of a structuring dynamic which establishes the space for for the world that we live in, and it establishes what's real. So I'm going to stop there and see if people have any comments or questions about that.
But I want to ask that, is there only one field communique, or are they different?
Well, there's different layers. I think in TSK it's usually a good answer to say that there are different layers. Right now we're talking about the sense of what's real. And I think you'd have to say that at any given time there's one definition of what's real. And that definition is given by one field communique. So for some purposes, for instance, if you're playing a game, you might say that there is a field communique appropriate to that game. But that's not such an interesting example. I mean, maybe it helps clarify something, but, you know, we're talking about how we live our lives. So the communique that we're talking about here is, you could say there really is, at any given time, there's one communique in operation, and that communique presents what's real. It's the communique that tells us, because everything refers to everything else within the communique, all possible communications, then there's only one.
Is it a bit like being in a play and you're following a script, but you might be able to either depart from the script if you realize it, or just feel it more deeply if you recognize it as being a guideline rather than a reality?
Yeah. No, it is. It's very much like a script. I mean, all of these examples about games and scripts, in one way, really help make clear, I think, what's going on. In another way, they're a little bit misleading, because the whole idea of a game or a script is that we know that it's not real. And in this case, we're talking about going back to a level where we're absolutely convinced that it is real. So, yes, it's kind of like saying, and that's why another, you know, an example that's always very helpful is to think about a dream. Because in a dream, what's going on in the dream, we think of that as real. And that's a great example for a field communique. And then later we wake up and we know it wasn't real. But while we're in it, everything communicates the reality of what's going on. Right? It's kind of like whatever is happening, part of the message that's being communicated is also the message, this is really real. And that's why it's a little different from a game or why it's very different from a game or a script. And it's, you know, it's really interesting, because when you're having a dream, whatever that was, I don't think it applied to us. When you're in the middle of a dream, sometimes in a dream things shift, and they shift in some very strange way. You know, you're talking to somebody and suddenly they're not the same person. And typically what you have to do in a dream then is you have to very quickly tell yourself a little story to make sense out of this shift. And you say, oh, well, I thought it was so-and-so, but now it's really, I realize it's somebody else. Or you have to do something. And what you're doing is, you know, kind of reconfiguring the field so that it still makes sense in terms of explaining what's real. So the issue or the question is, that's maybe an interesting concept to play around with. But for us, really, the important question is, what do we do with it? What possibilities are we trying to open up when we start to look at things in terms of the field communique? And that goes back then to this image that of collapsing the box, right? Or opening the box by taking it apart. And that's like saying, well, let's take this communique and find a way to, you know, what's the right verb? To challenge the communique. To challenge the limits on the possibilities that the communique makes available. So, you could look at what we've been doing so far as trying to do exactly that. Because we started off, you know, with this idea of, we made the distinction between content and non-content, right? And you say, well, content is what the communique, what the field communique communicates. So most of the time, as we go around in the world doing what we do, if somebody stopped and asked us what we were doing, we would have an answer, and that answer would be in terms of content. You know, oh, I'm going to the store, or, you know, oh, I'm taking part in this phone conversation, whatever it is. And by looking at the non-content level, that's already a kind of a challenge to the communique. So I want to stop there again, because I think that's really, I hope that's a helpful way to bring some bring a level of analysis maybe to what we've been doing. Is that clear? What I, you know, connecting the things up in that way, connecting what we've been doing to this idea of the communique.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's so cooperative. I must be doing something wrong. Okay.
Before you do a new practice, can I ask some questions about the last two practices?
Absolutely.
Now, the one about stretching out a cell or something was effective, because I had images in my mind of appearance being kind of an energetic field, so that it became immediately meaningful. The other one about undoing the box was much harder, because I'm not aware of any container to my perceptions. And so the invitation to do something with something I'm not aware of just kind of was, it was hard to make it meaningful.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know that I would call that a practice. I mean, I think it's a good thought experiment. But exactly for the reason you say, and also something that Rinpoche addresses, you know, he says at a certain point, and I think Cardin referred to this in one of her posts, he says you it's very difficult to just turn your attention to space, because when you do, you make it into the content of an experience. And if you say, you know, if you kind of contemplate the idea of taking the box apart, you're trying to point to something that you don't experience.
Uh-huh.
Because the box is, in fact, you know, it's like we live inside the box. You know, there's a very famous quote, maybe from the Sufi tradition, saying that fish never really understand the notion of water.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they spend their whole lives in it. And the field communique is kind of like that. If we try to communicate about the field, it doesn't work, because what we do is we construct this little thing and we label it and we call it the field communique, and we can talk about that all we want, but it's not the field communique. And so I just to come back to your point, you know, when you, or your question, when you open up a molecule, when you kind of imagine doing that, or you imagine opening up some part of your experience, it's like, okay, you have your experience, you have something concrete to start with, and then you open it and you expand it, and something shifts, and you can see exactly, or at least get a sense of what's going on. The field communique is not something you can take hold of in that way. In fact, that's the very characteristic of the field communique. So an example of that would be when, for those of you who were on the phone call last week, and we were having some problems with the quality of the phone call, right? And so we started talking about the problems we were having with the phone call. Well, you know, that was a, I guess the technical term is that was a meta communication, right? We were communicating about the communication. And the field communique is kind of like that. If you want to investigate the field communique, you have to investigate how things get communicated, the communication of what shows up. And you can't really do that. I mean, we can talk about the phone call and the quality of the phone call, and that's different from the things that get said on the phone call. But it's like this whole series of things we've been talking about, you know, games and theater plays and dreams are like that too, and phone calls. These are all things where we can step back from what's going on inside the structure and go to a different level. But the whole point about the field communiques, we can't do that because we're inside it. So I think that that's why Rinpoche starts off that example of the box and opening up the box by taking it apart.
Okay. The box is like a certain part of the field communique, and sets limits to what's beyond which we can't see, right?
That's right. That's right. And that's why, you know, somebody in the posts for this week, I think it was Bruce, raised the question. He said, well, I can kind of understand. He wasn't completely convinced. He said, but I can kind of understand that if everything inside the box becomes ghostly, then the box might become ghostly too, or might change in some fundamental way. Well, that is basically the approach that Rinpoche is suggesting, is that you can't get at the field communique directly. So what you want to do is take what gets communicated, which is the reality of everything that we take to be real, and make it more ghostly. That's basically what we're trying to do. And I suggested before that when we look at the non-content level, that's kind of like making everything more ghost-like. Now, ghost-like doesn't mean that it's, you know, like a ghost, really, so that you could put your hand through it, say. But it does mean that the identity that we ordinarily give it, we can expand, or we can deepen, or we can question in some way. And so that's how the expanding came up. So we started, you know, the reading introduces one idea of expanding. And in the practices for last week, I suggested a number of other ideas for, or a couple of other approaches anyway, to expanding. Any other questions or comments about that?
Yeah, I have one, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how to ask this exactly, but in the reading about the box, it was talking about points of orientation. And I can kind of understand when you take the box apart and the objects within it loosen, no longer have that a firm identity with which it, we relate, it loosens the whole notion of having a point of orientation. And so I was trying to imagine or think, what do we do without a point of orientation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where else to go with that, but it's so loosened that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The ground has
right.
gone
yeah. people,
out people, from underneath my feet.
Yeah, people often have this kind of concern in TSK that if they take it seriously, it's like they'll just collapse in a heap on the floor, you know, and not be able to do anything. Well, it has to do with this kind of phantom-like or ghost-like quality of the things we experience, and there it may be helpful to think about a game. We need to be careful with the image of a game, but the idea is that you can play in a game very intently, and yet the whole time you know that you could always walk away from the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something like that. You know, when you're playing in a game, or for that matter, if you're watching a play, or even acting in a play, you're operating on two levels at once, right? And because you're very involved, and yet at the same time, you're at a distance. You're looking at it from a different perspective. So, you know, if any of you have ever acted in a play, you know, while you're on stage acting in the play, it's like you're very involved in the dialogue and in your relationship to the characters. But at the same time, there are all these other thoughts that are going on in your mind about how things are unfolding and whether you're going to find the right thing in the right place when you need it, and how the audience is reacting, and you're doing both things at once. So what we're trying to do is, what the exercises we're working with are exploring is, not only can you take two perspectives, but in particular, the kind of second perspective we're trying to introduce is one that adds more richness or more depth. And that's why, you know, the notion of expanding is helpful. I think for this week we probably ought to just stay with the idea of expanding experience. If you want to add something to that, and I wasn't exactly going to present this, but what you were just asking about leads to that. If you want to add something to that, you could try, as you go about your daily activities, just maintaining two perspectives. And I mean that pretty literally. And I think people have probably had this experience at different times. You know, you're doing what you're doing, but at the same time, imagine that you're watching it from somewhere above you or outside you or some other place. And trying to see both things at once. And these exercises are always very, they're meant to be playful. So you could do that in the physical sense, where you see yourself from within, that is, you experience what's going on from within yourself and from some other location, physical location. Or you could try doing it, that take that second perspective in a non-physical way. For instance, this is probably a little bit more complicated than you want to try, but it's not complicated, but it's just challenging. For instance, you could try viewing what you're doing from the perspective of who you were 10 years ago. That's something, you know, you might try that for just a little bit. I don't know. Maybe you can maintain that. I'm not so sure you could maintain that very long. But anyway, what I'm trying to suggest is you could introduce a couple of different perspectives, whether those are physical perspectives or perspectives in time, or you might think about two different identities that you tend to manifest and try viewing what you're doing from both those identities. The idea here is just to add something more, and it very much relates to the point of the communique. Communique gives you one set of possibilities. It tells you one set of things is real. And the way to challenge that is to say, it doesn't have to be that way. There could be more. The field may be very different from what the communique presents. So I think what I'm going to do is I'll write some of this up and maybe try to clarify the exercise part of it in what I post online. I hope that gives some sense of where we're headed with this. We didn't talk too much about the question I raised at the beginning, which was, how does all this relate to space? But just to come back to that for one moment, if you're talking about physical space, that's in one way a very limiting concept. I mean, the whole idea that space consists of the three dimensions of height and depth and what am I missing? Width, height and depth and width. Within that limited context, you can say, well, that's what gets communicated about objects. They have height and depth and width. But obviously, what goes on in our world is way more than that. You know, that's just the world. I mean, that's such a narrow world. It's not even the world of physics. But space is much more this surround, and the idea of the field communique opens it up a lot. It opens up that realization that space could be something very, that it allows everything that appears, and it communicates the possibility for everything that appears. So when we start to talk about space that way, clearly we're bringing in a lot of different dimensions. We're bringing in the dimension of meaning, and we're bringing in the dimension of significance, and we're bringing in thoughts as well as objects. So you might just reflect on that, entertaining the idea that space can be so much more than what we think of when we think of physical space. Okay, anything else before we close for today?
I think I think the readings have been terrific.
Okay.
Really appreciating this. Thank you very much.
Oh, great. Great. Okay, so I'll post something. I'll try to do it right now. We'll talk next week.
Great.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye. Thank you.